Thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymere Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymerebaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Well, welcome and good evening. You definitely lose, I'm afraid. I've been involved in three services today, and that was the least enthusiastic response. So I'm going to try again. Good evening. Hooray. Bruce prayed for Angelo as he is kind of coming to the end of his time here at Guymere. And this is just a quick reminder that next Sunday in our morning services at 8:30 and 10:30 p.m. I know that time does exist on a Sunday. It's amazing. I didn't know until I started here. But we will be kind of celebrating his ministry and giving thanks for his work here in this community. So if you can be there and Angelo has had an impact in your life, then do join us for those services. As Matt said, we are starting a series this evening called The Invitation of a Blank Life. And hopefully over the next 3 weeks, we will be filling in some of those blanks. And also, as Matt announced, this evening I will be particularly focusing on the invitation of an obedient life. And this is very much a kind of an outworking of our mission statement, that everywhere we go and in everything that we do, we will invite people, everyone, to follow Jesus. And we're kind of looking at that. What does that practically mean? What does that life that extends an invitation to all those that we encounter look like? What does that look like for us to be an invitation to follow Jesus? So before I begin, would you join me in prayer? Father God, I thank you that you love us. And Father, I thank you that you have extended the invitation for us to step into the life that you designed for us. And Father, we praise you that you know exactly what we need. And Father, I pray tonight that we would be people who trust you, who receive from you the shaping and the teaching and the expanding of our minds that we need in order to live this life more fully for you. Lord, extending that invitation to others. Lord, would you speak beyond my words by the power of your Spirit? Would you be present in this place? Would you challenge us and move us into action, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a young sculptor was invited by a wealthy and powerful man to step out of his comfort zone. And despite a turbulent relationship with this wealthy and powerful man, this young sculptor had a high regard for him. He had a healthy respect for this man. And so he obediently set to work on a major construction project outside of his comfort zone, working through significant trials and challenges. This young sculptor exhibited flashes of genius, and he produced what is undeniably one of the finest pieces of architecture that we have in our world even to this day. And it is still the tallest dome of any building across the world. Michelangelo Buonarroti was the mastermind behind the cupolone, or the dome, which is at the heart of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, in Italy. And the beauty and enduring nature of this monument has become an invitation For some, it's become an invitation to come to this building and to stand and to stare up at this incredible dome and marvel at the craftsmanship, to marvel at architecture. But for some, this building has become an invitation to consider something more. For some, like author Bill Bryson, who is a famous writer and atheist, he said this upon entry to St. Peter's Basilica. "It's the only building I have ever entered where I have actually felt like sinking to my knees, clasping my hands heavenward, and saying, 'Take me home, Lord.'" You see, the result of an obedient life can be an invitation. An invitation to come and see something more, something greater than that life. An invitation to come and see something beautiful and to be shaped by it, to be transformed by it, to have your perspective shifted by it. And I'm no longer talking about a dome anymore. You see, the rock that St. Peter's Basilica is built upon is Peter, the Apostle Peter. To be more accurate, this building is built on the tomb of St. Peter. But Jesus said that it was Peter's faith, upon Peter's faith, that he would build his church. And we are the church. And we are a far grander monument, because we are a new creation, reborn in Christ. And no power of darkness can stand against the power of God that is at work within us when we obediently follow Jesus. When we live obedient lives, we become an invitation. An invitation to others to marvel at Jesus, to follow Jesus. And the world is absolutely desperate for this invitation. But how does this work? What does an obedient life look like? And how does that life become an invitation to others to follow Jesus? Well, I think that Jesus is speaking directly into this in this section of scripture that we have had read to us this evening. This section of Matthew 7 is the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we know this because it says in verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things. And this sermon, or series of sermons, was designed to shape the very existence of those that would seek to follow Jesus, those that would seek to come after Jesus and take upon his teaching and allow it to shape their lives, to shape their existence, to change the way that they live. And in this section, we find two individuals, two people intent on building houses, building homes for themselves. These two people have listened to Jesus' teaching. These two people have heard what Jesus has got to say. But one of these people put that into practice. One house fails to resist the storm. When the wind and the rains come, the house is washed away. But one house remains, standing firm, an enduring monument, unshakable. And the key difference for these two individuals is wisdom. Now, before I continue, I want to introduce you to kind of my thought process, I guess, for this message, and a formula that I think helps us not only to understand a bit more about what is going on in this section of scripture, but I believe will actually help us to put into practice this life that Christ is inviting us into. And this formula goes something like this: trust leads to wisdom, leads to obedience, which leads to invitation. Trust, wisdom, obedience, and invitation. And like all good, well-ordered things, we are going to begin in the middle. Wisdom leads to obedience. See, the word that we translate here in the Bible, the word we translate as wise, Matthew would have understood in a slightly different way. He would have understood a greater meaning in that word. He would have understood it to mean the one who knows the truth and who acts upon it. The wise person is the obedient one. The wise person's house still stands, still weathers the storm, because they are obedient to Jesus. Because the outworking of obedience, the outworking of wisdom, sorry, is obedience. The outworking of wisdom is obedience. When we think something is a good idea, we do it. That's a good idea. I'm going to do that. Are you with me? When we think something is a good idea, we do it. And I am obedient to the wisdom of looking left and right before I cross the street. And the outworking of this obedience, the outworking of this wisdom, is that I reduce the chances of dying when I cross the street. I am obedient to the wisdom of the signs at the zoo that say, don't climb inside the lion enclosure, for pretty similar reasons. And here, Jesus is inviting people to hear his words and to put them into practice. Let's look at a few examples. These all come in this preceding Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, because this is a marker of the children of God. This is what the children of God look like. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because earthly treasures are going to fade away to worthlessness. But treasures stored in heaven will remain. Do not worry about tomorrow, because we cannot know all that is going to happen tomorrow. But God does. And Jesus says these things because they are an essential part of a life that is heading towards eternity. Parts of a life that has its foundation on Jesus Christ. But wisdom doesn't just appear. It doesn't just materialize out of nowhere. Wisdom comes from a specific source. Wisdom comes from Jesus. So the beginning of that formula is that trust leads to wisdom. James Bryan Smith is one of my favorite authors, and I'll tell you a bit more about him later on in this message. But in one of his books, he has this story of where James goes with his son Jacob to a theme park they've been to before, but they encounter this ride, this roller coaster, that they've never been on before. And so they get on the roller coaster. And Jacob is screaming with delight, whilst James finds himself enduring this 90-second white-knuckle invigorating ride, and he is praying through gritted teeth the entire time. And when they get off the ride, they notice the title of it, The Scrambler. An appropriate title, they both decided. And Jacob shouts, "That was fun, can we go on it again?" And James says, "No! Why would you get on a ride like that? Why would you get on it?" And Jacob responds, "Because you were with me." You see, Jacob trusted his father. So he got on the roller coaster with him. And trust will do that to you. Trust will make you do crazy things. Trust will make you do crazy good things. Trust helps us to believe what someone says. Trust built over time through relationship, weighed and tested, helps us to accept wisdom. When you trust someone, you believe what they are communicating to you is trustworthy. think about those that you trust. And sometimes it's even beyond words that this trust is communicated, as it was for Jacob as he was on the roller coaster. Sometimes it's the presence of an individual with you in a particular place that communicates something that you can trust, trustworthiness. It communicates that. And that's the heart of this passage. That is the heart of this message for this evening, and the kind of the one thing that I hope, when reflecting on this tomorrow, that we all remember. That when we trust Jesus, we will accept his wisdom and be obedient to him. When we truly trust that Jesus is leading us into the best life, the truly beautiful life, as I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, we'll do what Jesus says. We'll trust his wisdom. We'll build our lives upon it. And this is massive. This is a life-changing reality. This is a reality that will rock our existence. See what I did there? Built upon the rock. Never mind. So the final part of this flow formula is that obedience leads to invitation. We've seen how trusting Jesus leads us to accept wisdom, and how wisdom is outworked in our lives in obedience. But how does obedience become an invitation? How does this next part of the formula work? Well, Michelangelo was obedient to Pope Julius II because of his high regard for this man. He was able to accept the wisdom of what would have appeared like a completely bonkers decision. To build a dome the size that no one had ever seen before. No one believed it was possible. So Michelangelo set to work on this dome. And as I said earlier, St. Peter's Basilica has become an invitation to come and gaze upon something beautiful, to be shaped and moved by its magnificence. I am a creative type person, and a piece of finely crafted typography on a page is enough to bring me to tears. But for some of us, it's buildings. We look at buildings and we imagine the craft that has gone into sculpting these various parts of the stonework of this building. For some of us, it is the colors of a painting. We look at the use of color and the way that they've managed to almost paint light into it, the brush strokes, and we get close to the canvas to examine it. For some of us, it's the haunting sound of a cello in a concert hall, when that's the only sound that is filling our ears and we are moved by the music. For some of us, it's the beauty of numbers. I have no idea what they're on about. For some of us, it is the beauty of a well-ordered cupboard. But there's something in the obedience of a craftsperson mastering their art that is an invitation to us. The wisdom to throw away the conventions at just the right time. And we're left with things that are so impossibly beautiful that we just have to get close and find out a bit more about them. To study them, examine them, appreciate them up close. And then we go away and we Google the artist, the musician, find out all about their life. We hit repeat on the track so we can hear that piece of beautiful cello music just one more time. Sometimes we do a bit more maths. But we're drawn in deep. And we want to know what has made this masterpiece so beautiful. Who it is that stands behind this incredible piece of craftsmanship. And when we trust Jesus, applying his wisdom. Our lives are built upon a rock. And we become an enduring monument, a masterpiece that testifies to who God is and what God does. We become a masterpiece, a monument that is truly invitational, that says, look not at me, but look at who made me. Can you imagine what we as followers of Jesus would look like if we worried less? Jesus said earlier in this sermon in chapter 6, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? What if we were so obedient in our response to Jesus' wisdom that it shaped our whole philosophy of living? What if we lived lives that were so free from the fear of having enough money this month that we engaged in extravagant acts of generosity? What if we decided to pay off someone else's credit card bill? Or to buy lunch for the next person in the queue. Or to buy a coffee for the next person in the queue. I need to learn and live this lesson. Can you imagine what would happen in our world if every single follower of Jesus across the world lived like this, was obedient to Jesus in this way? I can tell you now, there would be no debt in the third world. Can you imagine a world where every disciple of Jesus lived free from the compulsion to judge other people? Where we truly loved our enemies, where we kept every oath. The rest of the world would be very interested. Everyone, everywhere would have received an invitation to follow Jesus. They would want to know what on earth as in heaven has happened to us. We are the church. And this is what we are built to do. This is our high calling. This is the life that Jesus is inviting us into. And in our lives, this invitation begins with one thing. Our obedient lives lived as an invitation for others to follow Jesus begins with one thing. It begins with trust. It begins with trusting Jesus. And I'm coming into land now. But as we finish, I want to suggest a few ways that will help us practically walk out this life of obedience, truly becoming a people of invitation. For us, this begins with trusting Jesus, trusting God. But how do we learn to trust God more? Well, we cultivate it. We take steps of obedience in faith, walking it out. And there's three ways that I particularly want to encourage us to engage with tonight. And helpfully, each of these begin with the letter R. The first step is restoration. And I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Some of you have felt so let down and so disillusioned by people and by circumstance and by seemingly even God, that your ability to trust has been completely eroded. Trusting God and trusting the words that he says is so difficult, is so hard. Even listening to me speak this evening is really difficult. And we would love to pray with you if that is where you find yourself this evening. If you find yourself in a place struggling to trust Jesus, then we would love to stand alongside you and pray with you. Because however we might feel, the God of the Bible is trustworthy. My God is trustworthy. He is the only rock upon which we can build a life that will endure and that will survive the storms. We'd love to pray with you that God would restore your trust in him. And we believe that he will do that, gently breaking down barriers to do that. God is trustworthy, and God's trustworthiness makes our obedience possible. The second step is rhythm. Sometimes we need to pay close attention to getting into a rhythm of trust with God. I spoke earlier about one of my favorite authors, James Bryan Smith, and The Good and Beautiful God is a fantastically practical resource for engaging in what is called spiritual formation. Now, spiritual formation sounds like an incredibly grand title, but essentially, this is about helping us to learn to trust God more and be obedient as a result of that. And I've been recommending this book to some of the life groups, and I believe that there's at least one life group that is going to work through this book. But James has written this book to help people to get to know the God that Jesus knew, which I find just such a lovely concept. Getting to know the God that Jesus knew. And it very practically helps to challenge some of the patterns that we get into that result in us losing our trust in Jesus. James describes these as narratives, those statements that we've allowed creep into our lives to shape the way that we think, to get in the way of us actually believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. It's an excellent book. Now, we have tried very hard to get copies of this book for the bookshop, but largely due to my lack of warning, Joe and Bruce were unable to get them for this week, but it is coming, and it will be available in the bookshop in the next couple of weeks. But you can purchase it online. You can download it to your Kindle device. You can get it on Amazon if you want to jump on that sooner. The third and final step that I want us to reflect on this evening is radical. Courageous steps. And we've got this beautiful example tonight of Kat in her interview, taking courageous steps to use what God has invested in her to be obedient to his call, to step out in faith, to trust him with all that she's going to do. I'm often in danger of being too cautious. Sometimes I'm in danger of being not cautious enough, but that's another sermon. But perhaps God is inviting us to pray for people on public transport or in the queue at the coffee shop. Perhaps God is inviting us to trust him as we engage in radical acts of extravagant generosity. Perhaps God is inviting us to trust him with our reputations when we tell others that actually our very existence, our whole life, has been shaped by a relationship with Jesus. If God is nudging you towards something radical, then we would love to pray with you tonight, to stand alongside you, to invite God to resource you as you go And we would love to worship and celebrate with you that this is the way that God is at work in your life and in your heart. I'm going to invite the band to join me back on the platform now. But as they come, let me just share a few kind of concluding questions or thoughts. Will you come and build your life upon Jesus? Will you come and build your life upon the rock? You may have started that journey many years ago, but right now, you need to recommit to doing that again. To stop building on the sand, but to build it on faith in Jesus, trusting him, trusting his words. Will you trust Jesus? Will you receive his wisdom? Will you allow that wisdom to shape you and be outworked in obedience from you? That you, everywhere you go and in everything that you do, will extend an invitation to everyone to follow Jesus. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this invitation into life, and into life as I think we actually want to live, a life of meaning and of purpose, a life inspired and fueled and resourced by you, a bold, courageous, radical life. And Father, I thank you that you don't leave us ill-equipped, that you don't say, go on, get on, do that, without giving us the resources to do that. You have given us Jesus, and we thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you that you have equipped us. And Father, I pray right now that you would restore trust to some of us in particular. Father, where that has been eroded, Lord, you would restore that. And Father, where people are teetering on the edge of radical, courageous steps, Father, would they know your pleasure as they step out? Would they sense your enjoyment as they go? Father, we thank you that you invite us into life. And Lord, would you use us to invite others into the same? Amen.